Hello, my dear, sweet, darling, darling, sweet, darling, flower of life, darling, sweet. Welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. Hello to you in your cars, you at the gym, you dancing. Are you dancing to my podcast? I hope so. Hello to everyone who has just shaved their legs, underarms, any part of their body. Congratulations, you got rid of the hair. It's a fucking battle. It took me an hour to shave my back the other day, and that was with like something I ordered on the internet. Fucking sucks. Mark of Cain. It's the Mark of Cain. Cain slew Abel in the Garden of Eden, and the Lord, in his fury, Loon, as I call that god, marked Cain. And what he marked him with was back hair, just a thick coat of back hair. It's like, if you're going to be the first murderer, you're also going to be the first person who looks like an asshole at the beach. That's what you get for killing. Hello to you, those who have managed to worm your way out of a shitty job or in the process of getting out of a bad relationship. And hello to those of you who are getting into a good relationship and are in love. Thanks for taking the time from your torrid love affair to listen to me babble. I really appreciate it. It's incredible. Thank you. All of you, for allowing my weird lesbian-like voice to intrude through your ears and to activate the neurons and synapses in your brain that cause you to hear. And thank you for applying meaning to whatever this babble is, if it is babble. I love you. And a big fucking thanks to all of you who have been donating to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for supporting this thing. Thank you for keeping the air in this hot air balloon as it drifts into whatever bizarre parts of the multiverse it drifts into. Really, thank you. The fact that you took the time to click a donate button on a website and actually go through putting your credit card in to donate money to this podcast means more to me than I can articulate. Thank you so much. I cannot tell you the joy that I'm filled with knowing that there's a community of people that are coming together to support this fucking thing. I don't deserve it. I love it. I'm sincerely grateful. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's joining my forum at DuncanTrussell.com, and especially those of you who are collaborating to create your own podcast. We at DuncanTrussell.com, at the Duncan Trussell Family Forum, we actually have our own a separate podcast from this podcast that consists of all the genius artists there submitting their music and their songs and their rants. And Dustin, my brilliant sound engineer, weaves it all together into this super psychedelic podcast. Go download that. It's really fucking cool and it's really trippy. And a giant thanks to AdamandEve.com. Thank you, AdamandEve.com, for taking the chance of sponsoring this psychotic podcast. Thank you for being our first official sponsor. Thank you. And thank you for supplying butt plugs to the people of the world who so desperately need their anal cavity filled with a plastic pacifier. Thank you for that. Thank you for supplying the handcuffs that are being used at this very moment. I can feel it. Not used at my house. Nope, no handcuffs here. Just a lonely bearded dude smoking a vaporizer and talking into a microphone by himself after having eaten a delicious steak. But I know somewhere in this fine, sweet country, at this very moment, I can feel it. I can telepathically send my thoughts out into the world and feel the dainty wrists of some beautiful darling handcuffed to bedposts as her sweet lover satisfies her and stares into her eyes through his Hannibal Lecter mask. Congratulations to you, oh handcuff E, and handcuffer. And thank you, Adam and Eve, for supplying all the lubricant that's keeping the dry holes of our country and of the world wet. What are we going to do with all these dry holes? It's a nightmare, the number of dry holes in this country. It's a nightmare, the number of unlubricated hands and holes filling our country with sorrow and sadness and chafing. It's a horror story out there. I can only imagine the grinding grotesqueness and the cock blisters originating from people who didn't have lube on hand, but were horny. It's a fucking tragedy. This should be paid for by the government. It should be paid for by the UN. There should be lube airdrops over the Midwest. But until that time, Adam and Eve is offering you a sweet deal. 50% off. 50% off any of their sex toys at adamandeve.com. Any of the lubes, any of the fleshlights, butt plugs, any of the bizarre forms of technology that have been created by fucking engineers. Who, instead of spending their time at fucking Halliburton manufacturing cluster bombs, decided to spend their time at the Adam and Eve factory working on technology designed to make you come harder. They're the opposite of weapons manufacturers. They're orgasm manufacturers. They deserve your support. If you go to adamandeve.com, you get 50% off and 3 free DVDs. Whatever. Who even fucking watches DVDs? I don't understand that. But hey, 3 free DVDs. You can make... If you don't want to watch them, you can tie them together and make some kind of swirling, spinning, glittering thing that you could spin in the sun. You can go to the beach with 3 porn DVDs tied to a stick and spin it around and just smile like an idiot at anyone who looks at you funny. And also you get free shipping. So just go to adamandeve.com and buy these fucking butt plugs and put my name in, Duncan. If you put my name in, you will receive 50% off your fucking sex toys. And who knows, it might be the thing that transforms your dull, dry, rotten, boring relationship into a relationship that resembles something out of an H.R. Geiger painting. It's a weird reference, but fuck it. Go for it. Just go for it. Go deep, people. It's not a lot of time, you know? No matter what. Even if we're headed towards a technological singularity, or even if we're on the verge of an apocalypse, or even if they triple our lifespan in the span of universal time, you only get a little bit of time to hang out in this fucking meat body. Why not make it come? And why not use technology to make it come? I mean, come on, use technology to make your coffee, use technology to make your fucking, to microwave potatoes. Why not use technology to get your fucking orgasms at the level of the Fukushima nuclear reactor when it blew up? Let yourself come, people, and do it for your species. Now there's the commercial. The guest on this Duncan Trussell Family Hour, I knew he was a cool fucking guy. We hadn't really ever hung out before. I met him on an airplane for a second and thought, man, that's a cool fucking guy. And of course, I listened to and saw on YouTube the incredible animation that was done based on the story of him falling in with the Russian mafia. So I knew he's a like brilliant storyteller. But what I was not prepared for when Bert Kreischer came to my house was for the aura of supreme positivity that surrounds this man. He's a happy motherfucker and a really cool person. Now, I don't want to go overboard here, but I have encountered a few very supremely happy, unique people in my life. A few. One of them was a Buddhist monk in northern India. The other was a lunatic in Boston. And there have been others. But man, you can really tell a lot about a person by the way you feel when they walk out of your house or office or your car or they leave. Do you feel better or do you feel worse? When fucking Kreischer left after this podcast, I was just fucking buoyant with positivity and the weird kind of like weird guilty kind of sadness that had been creeping in a little bit, any shadows that had been creeping in were dispelled, and I felt fucking great. Bert Kreischer is the opposite of a vampire. He's a cool person. His fucking kids are super lucky because he's truly one of the greatest storytellers I've ever come across. I used to go to a summer camp and we'd have storytellers come there, like professional storytellers. He makes them look like babbling diarrhea mimes. He's hypnotic. I love him. Does it sound like I love him? I love him. He's an incredible human, and I was lucky to get him on the podcast. So please enjoy this Duncan Trussell Family Hour with Bert Kreischer. Bert Kreischer! And go to DuncanTrussell.com and join the forum and contribute your ideas to what's happening there. And buy one of my chaos posters at DuncanTrussell.com. These posters create a portal in your home, temple, nursery, funeral home, car, wherever you can tape this fucking thing up. It opens a vortex to an alternate dimension and sprays chaos energy all over your dwelling space as though your dwelling space were being jizzed on by the supreme intelligence of the universe. And that kind of jizz, you can't clean up and you don't want to. So go to DuncanTrussell.com, buy one of these limited edition posters. We're only printing 666 of them. And they're going fast. My house is filled with mailing tubes because the first batch is going out tomorrow. All right, that's enough for me. Now enjoy the Duncan Trussell Family Hour with Saint Bert Kreischer. Hello, Bert Kreischer.
We talked about marijuana on that plane. Do you remember when we ran each other on
yes,
that plane?
Yes, I do.
And we had a very loud conversation because I think I had half a noise reduction headset on.
Yep.
I always want to get more into it, but it's like all I can wrap my head around with weed is like playing frisbee.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about taking it and going to like
a church.
Like that would I would lose my fucking mind.
Yes. That's the idea, though. I mean, that's the...
That is the idea. But, you know, losing my mind on it is the reasons I stopped. Like, when you lose your mind, when you have one of those, like I can't hold on to fucking reality
yes.
anymore. My brain is a sawmill, and they're cutting logs down the center of my head, and it's dripping into my throat, and I just can't stop thinking of the color yellow. Like that, for me, is why I stopped.
Yeah.
And then every time I've smoked... Since then, it's a roll of the dice to find out if that happens.
Right. Yes. That's exactly what happens every time I eat marijuana. It's a roll of the dice. It could be some transcendent moment happens. It could be my psyche gets dragged through the depths of my subconscious. There's a war
yeah.
between my superego and my id. And I feel like a but... Those are the greatest opportunities when those moments
for self exploration.
Yeah, for self.
I don't know if I like what's inside me though.
Oh yeah,
I think it's gonna make me sad.
What do you think it is? What do you think's inside of you that would freak you out so much?
Fuck, I don't know. Fear of death. Fear of death.
You're afraid of death.
Oh, number one.
Yes,
I am so afraid of death that if I think about it, not high, stone sober, I will start myself into a panic attack.
Really?
Fuck yes.
So we can't talk about it.
We can totally talk about it.
Well, you know, that is one of the number one fears. I think there's a book I've heard of, I haven't read it. And the reason I won't read it is because everyone who recommends it to me is fucking depressed. And the name of the book, it's like it curdles your brain, it rots your brain.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
What's that?
We should start doing that with each other. Just trading jeans on the road. Take my jeans and have a good time.
Oh, gross.
Oh. Okay, so okay, wait, what's the book?
It's called the Denial of Death. And the premise is that every
thing that humans do that's neurotic, or just about anything people do, is just an attempt to ignore the fact that we're plunging at the speed of light towards inevitable extinction, and there's no way fucking out of it. And it's like, and so we all ignore it. We like, so everyone's going around wearing suits and driving in their cars and going to their fucking jobs, but underneath,
buying a new car to cheer you up because you don't want to think about dying. Everything is ultimately to keep you from thinking about dying.
Yeah.
I used to think everything was all about getting laid. Like, everything was just about getting laid.
Right.
But now I realize getting laid is just so you don't think about death.
Well, yeah, isn't that something like the orgasm's called the little death? You know, like when you come, it's like this, like such an intense moment that it takes you out of your life for a second. Well, you know, death is certainly terrifying. I mean, the idea, the concept of death is terrifying, especially like the, if you're an atheist and you think about death.
Do you believe in God?
Oh yeah, I totally do. I mean, I don't believe in God, and I have a name for I call the Christian God, or the God, not the Christian God, but the God that like, the fundamentalist, I call that God Loon Loon. That's it's a psychotic being that somehow went crazy millennia ago and now just tortures humans out of some kind of sociopathic urge. I don't believe in that. Loon Loon, it's like Gargamel.
It's like, yeah.
It's a fundamentalist Christian God is identical to Gargamel, torturing the Smurfs, except he's torturing.
Who's the cat? Azrael?
Azrael would be like Jesus, I guess. No, I don't know. No, just. I don't know. I guess I can't apply it 100%.
my look, there's some cracks in my omelet, okay? I didn't flip it over perfect, but it's a fucking omelet. Eat it. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, well, you know, but that God aside, I think that there is a creative, intelligent force in the universe that manifests in the form of novelty in your life. And the more that you get in sync and in harmony with existence, with your existence, and the more you work really hard, the more you get like coincidences and synchronicities and novelties in your life. And I think those are like what everything's all about. So that's the God I believe in.
So wait, okay. Every time I listen to you, I always wonder, when did you become you? Like, when did you become the guy you are now?
I don't know that there's any one moment. I don't think there's any one moment. I think it's just an endless progression. Like, it's just an endless progression.
Like, okay, so I'll just throw out a year, and then you describe yourself at that year.
Okay.
So, like, 13. You just probably start in high school or getting out of 8th grade.
Okay, yeah, 13, I'm a dick.
Really?
13, I'm a dick. Yeah, for sure. I'm an asshole. Like, 13, junior high, asshole. I'm just a dick.
What do you mean?
I was like a little asshole. I was a bully.
Shut up.
I was fucking mean. I was like.
And you grew up in North Carolina?
Grew up in North Carolina. You know what happened to me when I was 13?
What?
I'll tell you a monumental fucking moment happened to me when I was 13. And I deserved it. But it was such a humbling experience. I say fucking way too much.
I say it too much. It's okay. Wait till you have two kids and you say it nonstop.
Oh, and they start saying it.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, so 13.
So I'm on the school bus. And it was this weird tradition on our school bus where you had to let a kid sit, like you had to ask permission to sit down. Like, can I sit there? It's really weird. I don't know why this tradition had happened, but it was just a tradition that only bred sorrow because you would get denied a seat on public transportation by like dicks.
Yeah.
So some kid came up and sat down without asking me permission to sit down. And I'm like, I pushed him out of the seat.
Yeah.
Because I was a dick. I was a little asshole. And that fucking kid was, I think, 2 years younger than me. It would have made him 11 or 12. He grabbed me and threw me in between the bus seats and just started pummeling
Your
me.
Your arms can't move. You were stuck
move.
Down there.
Stuck.
Are you
just,
shitting me?
He's just raining fists on my fucking face.
Serious?
I'm serious. It's the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me in high school. And I deserved it. I deserved it. That was God manifesting for a moment in my life and trying to wake me up for a second. You know?
Shut up.
Yeah. So I was a dick when I was 13. What about you? Where were you when you were 13?
13. It's funny. I can ask questions. I have no fucking clue. 8th grade. I think I was a dick too. I think I was. I went to a predominantly Jewish like grade school. Really good like prep school.
Right.
And but I was like one of the kids that wasn't Jewish, and there was like four of us, and we're all bigger. we were all bigger than everyone else, and we played like JV basketball, JV football, JV baseball. We played all the like high school sports in like eighth grade. And when I was 13, I fell in love for the first time, like hardcore.
Wow.
Hardcore, and she fucking broke my heart.
Wait, 13? You fall in love at 13?
I did. Young. I got caught off guard. I didn't see it coming. This girl transferred to our school in eighth grade, Jennifer Stevens, and she was like blonde hair, blue eyes, wow, great body, great, like real tan.
Yeah.
And I remember she was playing with her shoe, like on her foot in history class. And it's when I first realized, okay, shit, something's going on. And she would play with her shoe and she had perfectly tan feet. To this day, I'm obsessed with perfectly tan feet. It set a precedent for the rest of my life. And she was dangling her shoe, and I started dating her. We like at that year at the carnival, and we went to grad school to the teen grad night
yep,
at Disney, and I probably shouldn't say exactly, but I fingered her on for the first time, and I was like, oh. And then she dumped me, and I fucking cried, like first time I cried over a chick, and I was like,
it's the worst thing ever, that feeling.
Oh, it was the fucking...
And especially when you're that young.
Cut to, she is now married to one of my best friends growing up, whose parents live next door to my parents. And her kids were huge fans of my TV show.
Whoa.
And they wanted to meet me. And I felt and she's... Obviously, I'm totally cool over it now. But
yeah,
man. And then I went to an all-boys Catholic high school right after that. And I really quickly realized, okay, I'm not a bully. I'm not big enough. I'm not tough.
I
smoked weed for the first time.
Do you think her feet are still? I don't mean to go back. Do you think her feet are still tan?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm fucking certain of it. She had perfect skin. I remember looking at her leg, looking at her foot, and just being like, oh my God. And then I'd see other girls in my class's feet, and like one girl, this girl Kelly, had hair on her toes, and I was like, ugh. It's like, what the fuck, you animal? Don't you know? Haven't you seen Jennifer's feet? Shave your fucking toes. Like, I don't have hair on my toes, you fucking pig.
You think Jennifer shaved her toes?
No, just perfect.
Just no hair.
Just
there.
Fucking perfect. Just a perfect hairless. Butt. I don't even think she shaved her legs. I was so head over heels for this girl that every girl I dated until college had to live up to the standard of her.
Did you ever suck on her feet when you guys were making out?
I was in eighth grade.
You didn't even know.
I didn't
you
even
did
know
that.
You could do that.
You could do that in eighth grade.
How great would it be if I was like really in touch with fetish in eighth grade, and I just started doing some hardcore fetish shit? Like, I call on the phone. I'm like, talk me down. Talk like I'm a piece of shit. Call me a pig. Call me a fuck pig. Her dad gets on the phone. And it's like she's like, yeah, I'm a fuck pig. Oh man!
Yeah, it's weird. Fetishes are something that they seem to come later on in life, don't they? They don't really pop up, and do they?
Okay, so we were talking about this a little bit. The first porn I ever got a hold of in my life was like in first grade. We were at a magazine shop back when like they just put like the porn everywhere, and I picked up porn, and it was bondage. It was bondage porn, and I was looking at it like, what the fuck is this? And my mom walked up and pulled it away from me, and I was like, whoa. But that's the first glimpse of sexuality, of sunlight that came in.
Whoa.
Okay. I never did bondage, never did anything like that in my entire life. So then I get this show on FX called Hurt Burt, where I take a dangerous walk. I walk a mile in another man's shoes, but it's a dangerous mile. I take another man's job, but it's a dangerous job.
Yes.
So I'm a rodeo clown. I'm a professional football player, MMA fighter, dominatrix gimp. They bring me in. Mistress Isabella Sinclair was her name.
Wow.
And they bring me into her dungeon. I don't even know. And I never knew what I was doing when I got there. They blindfold me. I'm just walking through.
Yeah.
They take all my clothes off me, and I'm like, but I didn't realize this. In a weird way, we're technically shooting a porn, but I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So they take all my clothes off me, and I don't know that I'm in a room with a bunch of people.
Yeah, you're shooting, you're shooting a porn. There's cameras.
There's cameras. You're
the dominatrix. It's a porn.
It's a porn. It is a porn. There's network executives that are there. You know Jason Nash?
Yes.
Marnie, his wife, is sitting in the room. She's sitting in the room watching me naked. Like, I remember her going, this is a bit much, guys. Like, They sit me in a chair, and I feel the cold steel, and I'm like, whoa. And I grab the thing, I take it off, and I see there's cameras, there's lights, there's an audio guy. He's got a boom right by my dick to get audio. And they tie
me
up.
To get audio of your dick.
Yeah.
He wants the sound of your erection.
Well, they're smacking it. They're with whips. They did everything. They put like a 5-pound 5 pound weight on my balls. At one point she said, this is a part, this is when I was like, I had to look at the producers like, all right, we're wrapped. We got shots. At one point she goes, all right, what would you rather? The anal speculum. Ooh. I was like, next. Yeah. I don't even know what the other one is. I'll fucking take it.
Yeah.
She goes, or the sounds. Do you know what the sounds are?
Nope.
There's steel rods in like a leather booklet. She opens the leather booklet and there's steel rods that are different shapes. They look like harmonic tuning forks.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd tap and they go, gong.
Right.
And so I'm like, I want sounds. She goes, all right. She looks at her Asian little sidekick. She goes, he wants the sounds. Lube them up. I go, whoa, where, lube them up. Where do you put them? She goes, we put them in your urethra. And I go, whoa, fucking bring back the speculum. Like, why would you call them the sounds? It's a little deceptive. She says, each one will make you make a different sound. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to play me like a musical instrument? Just, like, oh. Fuck. So, yeah, but she then said to me, she was like, after getting tied up, I had this weird reconnection with being in first grade. For like the next week, I was like, man, something's like, I couldn't quite place it together. And then she gave me a bunch of these bondage porns. She was like, take a look at them, you know, if you want, you know, if you ever want anything, call me if you ever want to do a session. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll never do a session. I was dating my wife at the time. We were, right. I almost want to say we were married. No, we were just dating. But I took a look at these bondage porns and I was like, holy shit. Like, my first glimpse of sexuality was this bondage shit.
Yep.
And it laid dormant for 25 years.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden I'm showed it again and I'm like, whoa, I feel like I'm first grade. Like, I'm discovering something taboo. Like, wow. It was really fucking insane. But yeah, so then I heard your interview with what's her name?
Mistress Justine Cross.
Oh, by the way, the best part of that, if you don't, it's hard to hear when you're you, but you're like, you're, ow, ow, ow.
It hurt.
It laughs, maybe laughs so hard. You're like, right now she's massaging my, ow, ow, ow. And it was so fucking hilarious. I kept hearing your scream and I was like, it's true. You can't, like, I could never get into bondage because I'm too connected to who I am as a human,
right,
to disappear.
That's it.
Like, who I am, I'm not the CEO who has to run over and then I want to let my hair down.
Yeah.
I'm just me 100% of the time, just like you are. So when I'm listening to you, I'm going, that is Duncan.
Yeah.
That's Duncan getting hit.
I was just getting slapped.
That's what it sounds like.
I was just getting slapped and I couldn't disappear. But you know what? Goes back to your fear of death, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to vanish. You don't want to get, you're attached to your personality. And I felt the same way when I was there. I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to like do that thing where you just plunge in and you're like, but you kind of do that anyway. Like to put yourself in a situation where there are network executives.
Oh yeah.
Cameras. And someone wants to insert a sounding rod into your urethra.
I'm totally tied up. Totally, like.
I mean, could you have said no to that, or were you contractually obligated to go through
it? Oh, I could say, I said no. I was like, no, we're not doing
that. No, I mean, but the whole scene, you couldn't have said
no to
that.
At the time, it was, you know, this is going to sound much headier than it really is. But at the time, I felt like we were breaking new ground for television. This is 2001. Right. It's like right after 9/11. This, mind you, you got to put it in perspective for people listening, is that this is roughly around the time Jackass is taking off.
Okay.
This is before what we know to be reality shows. Dirty Jobs isn't around. Like, what you know, like the American Idol's probably not even around. Survivor just took off a year ago. Yeah. So, like, I kind of thought, like, we're in this brand new thing. Like, in my head, and I remember people telling me, man, this is going to make you a star. Like, people are going to see this. They're going to see you commit fully and be a dominatrix gimp, have them electric prod your balls, pour hot wax on you, fucking flog your ass, wrap you in latex and leave you there. Like, they're like, I went out, I got mauled by a bull. Like, I went into a bull ring with a bull and had a bull maul me, break my ribs, break my foot. Like, I really thought, like, I committed to that because I was like, I have a fear of flying. I was a stunt pilot for a day where I fucking did hammerheads and slid to the ground and pulled out at the last minute. I fought 5 Gracies with a knife. Like, I really committed to it.
5?
Yeah, or 4. It was 4 Gracies. It was all the sons and then Hurion.
With a knife?
They gave me a knife and they're like, try to stab one of them. And I was like, fuck that, what are you? I'm not going to stab one. And then all of a sudden that you see 4 Brazilians running at you. You're like, I'm stabbing a fucking Brazilian. We're in the fucking barrio, baby. What's it? Children of the Sun. And they slapped it out of my hand and choked me out. Have you ever been choked out?
Nope.
Oh, you want to talk about a fear of death. Once you get choked out, you realize what it's like to die. You not to what to die, but you realize what it's like to be absolutely powerless. Like, I don't know if this is the same for MMA fighters. I'm just saying for me, that when I got choked out, they grabbed my gi or my whatever.
I think it's a gi.
Yeah. And they just grabbed it and they cut off my coronary artery or whatever. And you feel yourself go like hard. Now I'm really fighting. I'm really fighting this guy because he's choking me out.
Yeah.
And I grab his hands like, get the fuck off me. And as I do that, I go, oh, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm done. And I was tapping because I was like, maybe a tap out will help. But no, they put you down. And then you come to and you have five dudes standing over you like you're in a grave. Because you literally, when you tap out, when you get choked out, your body sinks into the earth and you disappear.
Yeah.
And you come back out of the earth and you're now looking like you're in a grave. And they're also going, wake up, Bert, can you hear us? Bert, can you hear us? And I'm like, what happened?
Wow.
Oh. And then for the next nights, every night I go to bed, I'd lay in bed and I just sit there and I'd be just, I just out of nowhere just go like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying, man. That the every version of that is always scary. But at the end, like when you do these things, at the end of the experience, don't you feel great? Like, don't you feel better?
It's like a massage or like one of those things where you just feel like you ran a marathon and you're done.
Yes.
It's like an emotional dump. Like, When I was a football player for the day, and I probably got a concussion, so that might have attributed to some of it. I remember getting in the bath after practice, after I'd been lit up, I'd been beaten to shit, and I was just like, man, I feel like a warrior.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I earned these cuts. Like, yeah. Oh, it was such a great, like, I think that's why people do that shit, like ride bulls. And like, I mean, I've done a lot of crazy shit. Like, I'll tell you what. This is going to sound really not cool when I speak it to you, but it is. But like, Rachel Ray is a friend of mine, and I do her show a lot. And she told me, she would try to convince me to jump out of a plane. She goes, when you do it, after you do it, you'll feel like you have a secret that no one knows. Like, you feel like you're keeping a secret. Yeah. And I was like, whatever. I'm like, just get me out of the fucking plane. I was so terrified of flying and so terrified of the whole experience.
I'm scared of that.
You've never done it?
Never done. I'm terrified of that.
Okay, you should do it then. You should do it. You should do it. Like, no, I'm not saying that to everyone, but you should do it. You should do it because when I panicked hard when the plane took off and you get to 13,000 feet, which is like think about it. It's like 10 minutes into your flight, right?
Yeah.
And you're at 13,000 feet and you're looking out and it looks like 13,000 feet. You can't see houses anymore. You can just see plots of land and like a lake. And then you realize, all right, this shit's happening. And you're strapped to a dude, which is massively emasculating.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting on some dude's dick.
Yeah, that sucks.
And she says to me, she goes, don't watch me jump out of the plane. Like, whatever you do, don't watch.
Why?
That's what I said. I go, why? She goes, trust me, don't watch. So now in my head, of course, I'm going to fucking watch. Yeah. She gets to the edge and then does her read, you know, and then they go, she looks at me. She goes, don't look at this. No, I'm staring. I'm fixed. I'm like, stop fucking talking to me then. And she goes, one. They do a rock. Like, one, two. And she gets sucked. Like, sucked out of the plane. Like, and do you know, have you ever had white hot panic run through you?
Yes.
Do you know the kind of panic where you're like, this is not good? And I fucking freak out. I grab the cameraman who's not wearing a parachute. And he's like, let go of me, asshole. And like, now drops camera, starts punching me. I grab the sound guy. I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going. My dude, who's I'm strapped to, baby Bjorns me, just and takes me to the corner. And I plant myself. I'm like, I'm not fucking going. I'm losing my shit. So, but then he says, he goes, we're going now. I'm like, fuck you. And he goes, oh my gosh, check your straps. And I'm like, what? We go, he throws me out of the plane. But there's a moment. Come in.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, I just got tubes delivered, you guys.
Back to greatest moment of the tubes delivery is when you pulled it out, and I looked at it, and I was like, that looks really small. And you're like, hold on, let's check this out. And then you measured it on the poster.
I know. Thank God it was the right size. I just ordered a shitload of tubes because I got to place a bunch of poster orders. Anyway, man, sorry for the interruption in that awesome story. Let's get back in that story.
Okay, so I was ultimately, and I think this is where I was starting at, was you have to do it. You have to do it because there's a moment as the guy hurled me out of the fucking plane and I'm screaming at the earth at over 100 miles an hour where that whole death conversation shows up, and you say, this is it. This is that thing. Yeah. This is what I've worried about. Does this shoot open? Am I going to die? Am I on the path to death right now?
Yeah.
And ultimately, and my guy was like, you have to pull the cord yourself. Like he re-grabs, he's like, grab my, he's, I thought he was yelling, grab my balls, but it's, there's a ball. There's one ball. That's what I thought he was saying. Cause I didn't listen to any of the class at all, but there's one ball that's the shoot cord. He's like, grab my balls. I'm like, fuck you. You play with your balls. I'll play with mine. And so I pull the cord, the shoot opens and it's a religious, all my fears about like, oh, because I kept thinking to myself, like, I just made a bunch of bad life decisions. Because now here I am about to jump out of a plane. I don't even want to fucking do it. I just want to raise my kids. I just want to spend time with my kids. And then when the shoot opens, you're like, I fucking did it. I fucking did it. And I still have my kids. I have my family.
Yeah.
I start sobbing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
But I'm in a dude's lap. Like, I'm hooked on a dude. Have you ever been in a room when a guy starts crying? Imagine having one sitting on your lap and crying. Just like, ooh. Not like a cool, dignified History Channel cry, but like a, someone took my Barbie tour bus, like, and he's trying not to acknowledge it. He's like pointing out farms and shit. He's like, do you want to drive the controls? And I'm like, fuck you. Oh, but you should try it, because I think you there, it's true. I got done my publicist from Travel Channel was there, and she had gotten a 12-pack of beer. She knew how bad I was for the ride, because we have a car service. She's like, when we drive back into the city, we'll have beers on the ride, and we'll be fine.
Oh, she's cool.
And she's fucking awesome. And I didn't even need to drink a beer. I felt so good. I felt like I had a secret. I kept looking out the window going, like, I just jumped out of a fucking plane. Like, but there are certain people, like Rogan always says he'd never jump out of a plane. He should. He should, because he's one of those guys that likes to be freaked out. He likes to be in, you're like that too. You like to be confronted with the
novelty.
Yeah. Like it's
novelty.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
It's novelty. It's that moment where you're doing something so outside anything you normally do that you experience a peak moment and it changes you for the rest of your life.
And you believe differently. Like you go, like after that, I was like, I could go bungee jumping. I can do anything. I can do. Now I look like we were going swimming with whale sharks the other day, and these people were like freaked out because they didn't want to do it. And I was like, I'll do it in a heartbeat. Are you shitting me? The fuck? Like,
what, are whale sharks, will they chomp you?
No, I'm going swimming with sharks, sharks like three more times in the next month. But it's just for work. But once you swim with sharks once, the fear of swimming with sharks is what keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
That's what keeps you up in bed, and you start going, this is a really bad idea.
Yeah.
This is a really horrible idea. Because I knew for the first time, I knew how to get out of the cage with great white sharks. I knew how to get out of the cage. And I was like, that's fucking. First time I went swimming with sharks, they were like, it was for Herbert, and they're like, you're going to be a National Geographic cameraman for the day. So you're going to film us in the cage with great white sharks. So I had to get out of the cage and film them in the cage.
That is something I have never realized, is that someone's filming from outside the cage.
A fucking gangster. And it's the person you least expect. Like, every time I've done it and had someone out of the cage, one time it was this smoking hot chick. One time it was a dude with warts all over his hand. And, like, and so we get in the water and you start, the guy I did it with, his name was John Manley, I think was his name. I just remember that name being like, fucking seriously.
Yeah.
I got in the cage first to get it comfortable. And then once you get in the cage and you realize how slow everyone's moving, you're like, oh, I could do this. But at the time, it's just blue sharks and makos. Right. And I'm like, I can fucking get out. I can get out. This is not going to be a problem. I hop out of the cage and a great white shows up. At first, the great white doesn't show up. At first, all the sharks disappear. Wow. It, like, you're sitting there and you're playing with one blue. Like, he's coming up and he's nudging you and you're moving him away with the camera. And then all of a sudden, you see like three blues are coming up and the Mako's circling, and you're kind of keeping an eye on everything. You got a guy behind you, he's keeping an eye on you, and you guys are watching each other out. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm playing with one blue, and then I see him just kind of take off. And I look around, there's no sharks. And then I see this shadow in the distance moving fucking fast. I'm talking like Have you ever seen your mom almost trip and she catches herself and her body moves real quick and you're like, "Ooh, I shouldn't normally move that fast." It's like that. Like this shark just showed, and it is on us, and everyone's like, "Out of the fucking water! Out of the fucking water!"
Oh no!
Yes,
fucking way.
And so and then, but once you do it once, and then I did it again, and then I did it again, and now I've swam with sharks probably like 5 times. Only because it's something that you'd end up doing a lot on TV shows. And now I'm going back with Rachel Ray. We're going out of the cage with reef sharks. And then I'm going back to Hawaii swimming with tiger sharks and great whites.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's I would liken that to going to church. Because when you're in a cage and you're staring at a fish.
Yeah.
And it just comes up like. Trying to figure out what you are, like going like, hey, what the fuck?
Can
like,
I eat you?
Yeah.
It's like, is this a sandwich?
Yeah, but its only way to feel anything is with its mouth. So it's like, hey, what are you? Like, hun, let me bite onto that. Oh, when you see them rise from the bottom of the ocean and shoot up to the cage, you're like.
Man, you have a crazy fucking life, man.
I did not mean for it, though. I didn't mean for any of it. I thought I'd be like a. Sitcom guy. I swear to God, if you had asked me, like, I don't know, 13, I guess I've been doing stand-up like 13 years. If you had asked me 13 years ago what my trajectory was, I was like, yeah. Oh, sitcom star. I'll be a sitcom star.
Right.
Definitely. Definitely thought it. I thought, I had 2 or 3 things happen where I was like, oh, yeah, this is my path. And then I did that one Hurt Burt thing. I got my ass waxed, like a full Brazilian wax.
Yeah.
And then from that, it turned into like, oh, if you need a host who is going to give you an honest reaction about what this event's like, will be terrified but will do it and can do an intro read, an outro read, and interview people on the street. I was like, I'm the only fucking guy. Like for some reason, like because I think anyone else in their right fucking mind just goes, no, this is stupid. This is dumb.
Well, no, you've got this positivity. You like kind of exude this awesome. Enthusiastic positivity.
But you saw me spiraling on that plane when I was like piss drunk, headsets on, hoodie on.
Yes, yes.
Like just I can't reel it in then.
Right.
Like I saw you and you're just chilling, reading a magazine.
Yes.
And I was like, how the fuck can you be like that? I don't understand how that works.
Well, you know what it is, man. I mean, it's like people love to see natural reactions. And if somehow you aren't able to conceal that, it really is a talent. There's something that people love in watching people have like authentic reactions.
I guess I've just tapped into my authentic reactions and I can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off. You're just
that's
purely
a
in
fucking
the
brilliant way to say that. Like that's what now that I think about it, it's like, yeah, I'm tapped into this now and now I can't turn it off ever.
You're being yourself. You're purely in the moment. You're purely reacting to the variables that are flying around you, and it's fascinating for because think of the rest of us in this hypnotic trance. We've been taught since we were very young to not actually respond to situations. Everyone's taught to hold it in, you know. So what do we like? It's like almost like Americans fetishize seeing someone emote. Like we love to see someone actually.
When you see someone on a reality show lose their mind and start screaming and throwing shit around, you're like, oh,
this is it.
This is it.
Oh yeah, this is it. We got it. Oh yeah, look, they're really freaking out. They're really freaking out.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy because we're so fucking inhibited, man. It's an inhibited culture. Like you know when you're like, imagine walking down the street. You're walking down the street and you look around. You see people staring straight ahead, looking into their cell phones, always barely smiling, always a look of either fear or boredom on their face, but barely fear. If it's just this kind of it's almost like the prison face. Everyone's got a prison face walking in whatever public area. And then from somewhere, a crazy person will start like freaking out, like, I'm motherfucking bitch. I'd rather put a fireball in my asshole than be alive. And everyone stops. You know, and like everyone starts looking, it draws attention, and it's like this horrifying moment when you see someone actually reacting to reality, to what's really happening.
Yeah.
Someone actually reacting to the fact, the thing that you're afraid of, but seem to be every time, it seems you've made a career out of exploring that fear. Whenever anyone reacts to the actual fact that we exist in a dimension where we are plunging towards annihilation with no parachute, no guy's fucking balls to grab, no yeah. one to sob in front of. We're all plunging towards our own individual apocalypse. And someone starts like emoting that on the street. It's you'll never remember it for a long time. That was a long way to describe it.
No. It's completely accurate. It's like when, you know, it's the people that are denying. Like I'm doing it wrong now too, but like the people when they say something like the people on the Titanic when it's going down and they're like, well, what, this isn't, where's my whiskey? Yeah. Like, you know, like they don't want to be in touch with like Rose and Jack who are like, we're fucking dying, you know, like.
I'll tell you one of the worst things. You want to hear one of the worst things I ever heard?
Yes.
Ted Bundy, supposedly the famous serial killer, during his testimony would describe in detail, because sociopaths somehow love to describe in detail their murders. And one of the stories he told was he had picked a girl up. She was a high school kid, I think, maybe a college kid. I think it was a college kid. Picked up a college kid. Because, you know, back in those days, people fucking hitchhike and take rides from strangers more. So he picked up some college girl. And he's driving with her in the car to drive her home. And out of the blue, he decides to punch her as hard as he can in her face. So he's just driving her, and all of a sudden, he just fucking decks her. It goes from just being a ride home to suddenly hits her. Her head smacks against the car window. And he said that her response was, you know, I really need to get home because I've got to study for a test tonight. So I really need to get home to study for this test. If you could just take me home, I need to study for this test. So like the way your mind was reacting to her paradigm shifting from being, you know, someone who was just a college kid who got a ride, maybe shouldn't, but it was just a college kid, to being someone who's about to be murdered. Her mind just kept trying to go back to the moment before reality had snuck in.
Good God. That is fucking insane.
Isn't that fucked up, man? I got a test I have to study for. So, you know,
like, as opposed to acknowledging the reality.
Yeah.
She just went back to like, if I play it calm, we're all going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to being like, I need to get out of this fucking car. Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Start punching him and jump out the...
She would have survived. Instead of giving a natural reaction, which should have been at that moment to fight for her life and grab the steering wheel and fucking tear his eyeballs out.
Sociopaths do that to you, though. Like, they do shit to you that you justify. I'm trying to use an example without using the fucking guy's name. It doesn't matter. They do prison shit to you where they make you, they do something mean and horrible and then make you feel like it's your fault for overreacting.
Right.
And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's a classic move. It's a classic vampire move. I call them vampires. It's a classic vampire move where they'll act like fucking total dicks. It'll create a response that's a natural response, which is like, hey, why are you being a dick?
And then they're like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Dude,
what's up with this guy?
Fucking get some coffee or something. Why are you acting so weird? What are you fucking?
Yeah, and then you're like, am I fucking crazy? Like, my wife's mom's like that. My wife's mom is out of her fucking mind. Like, I mean, we've been disowned by the woman probably 4 times.
Wow.
And she burned all my wife's pictures of her childhood, lit them on fire, and then emails like, how come you don't want to have a relationship? Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you're not allowed to do A, B, and C, and then go right back to A.
Right.
You can't, once you've gotten to C, the next letter is D. That's where we go.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. I've had a lot of run-ins with sociopaths that I've just been like, fuck it. I got to a place now where I'm like, I'm so numb to friendships that I'm like, I'm fucking out. I'm like,
yeah.
I write off people so quickly these days.
Where you have to.
Yep, done with that person.
There's no time.
Yeah, I can't. All I can really give a shit about, all I care about is my daughters, my wife. That's it, really. I mean, like, I have some core group of friends that I've known when I moved here. Yeah. I have some comics that I've always been friends with and I'll always be friends with. But as far as, like people in my life that I've been friends with for a long time and I just don't know why, and then all of a sudden they do some fucked up shit, I'm just writing motherfuckers off.
You should. You have to. I mean, it's like the it's like hanging out. It's hanging out with someone who's got smallpox, psychic smallpox. If you hang out with these people, you'll catch it.
You're gonna catch it, and then you become that person.
Yep, that's exactly right, and that's how they got it. It's like you'll notice that, you know, these sociopaths that we're talking about, when you're hanging out with them, it's not as simple a thing as them just being mean to you. You'll notice that when you're hanging out with them, you'll start like doing fucked up shit. They'll start giving you like unhealthy things, or you'll find yourself eating unhealthy shit or smoking or like, you know what I mean? Because they're always destroying themselves. 9 times out of 10, they're like alcoholics and addicts and
cocaine.
Yeah.
Fucking cocaine breeds that shit.
Yeah, man. It's like a priority. The number one priority in life should be to have no mercy on vampires. I call them vampires. No mercy on vampires. If someone's in your life who's polluting your life, dimming your experience of life, trying to drag you into a fucking hole, write them off. It feels good, doesn't it?
It feels really good when you're like I had a weird situation go on with management, and it was so fucking ugly and gross, and I saw so many parts of everything that I didn't want to see, and it was just so fucking dirty, and I was like, I don't want to deal with any of this. I don't know how any of this ever showed up in my life. I just want to be a comic. I just want to do what we're doing right now is all I want to do. I feel so healthy about me and you talking right now.
Yeah.
This is exact. I don't want to fucking take calls from agents and managers and talk about like what we should do to maneuver. That's not me. That's not who I am. You know?
Yeah, I know. This is all I want to do too. This is what we love doing.
If you can stay, you said something one time on Rogan's podcast that I think about so fucking much because it's like, that's the goal, is if you can say something where people just in their head, like you were talking about getting lost in the quest. What was the,
a video game?
Yeah. World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you even, like, you get so lost where you look at the mountain sometimes, you're like, oh, what is that, the range? And, you know, like something.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, oh, I've totally been there. Like, when I get lost in video games, it's always like a skateboarding or a snowboarding game.
Yeah.
And you walk through the world and you're like, ooh, look at that rail. I could totally fucking rail slide that.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can just do something that cheers someone up every time, you know, like that every time that thing comes in their head, they go, oh, that's like that time that you don't even need to know the person.
Yes.
You don't even need to know the person. Like, if you can just get a smile out of something and it carries on forever, it's like, I'll never be able to eat Hot Pockets without thinking of Jim Gaffigan and laughing.
Right.
Like, he did that for me forever.
Yes.
Like, Patrice O'Neill was my definition of hilarious. His last album, Mr. P, is one of the funniest fucking albums. And he's made me think of things in such a different way that just having that experience of having him as a friend, like, that is all I care to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think it sounds fucking stupid.
It does.
I think it's a sacred duty. And I think if you're in this dimension and you're on this planet and we are with a bunch of people who are all plunging towards annihilation and they're trying to, like, at least for during the fall, your only job should be trying to comfort the people around you and make them feel happy and excited about their existence. And if you're not doing that, if you're fucking freaking out or screaming or like you're trying to
sucking the life out of people,
fuck you.
Exactly.
What are you even doing here? Why are you even doing that? And what are you doing in our lives? Like, why are you doing that? And why, like, a lot of these people take center stage, man. A lot of these people, they're not happy just worming their way into friendship circles and destroying the relationships and friendships around them. They get on fucking TV. We're talking fucking Nancy Grace, for example.
Yeah. Oh.
Look at that vamp. Look at that bitch. She fucking squirmed her way, like, in front of, she blasts negativity into so many homes on a nightly basis. Think about that. That's and it comes back on you, man. It fucking, just watch what happens to Nancy Grace. It's gonna be some kind of fucked up cancer, some kind of weird stroke.
I always feel like those people never, like, not, I'm not Nancy Grace, but like the, like those people that, like, there are managers out there that everyone knows of that are snakes.
Yes.
And you're like, man, how can Greg Giraldo just get zapped out of this earth? Like, what, right. Like, how come he can't stick around longer? How come, like, Like, how come, like, it's like, well, I just had a friend who had a stroke, like, a week ago. And he was nothing but a fucking good guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
Like, oh.
Why, well, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a little Old Testament of me to say that Nancy Grace is going to get some affliction for her negativity. But
well, why not just eczema on her face?
Yeah.
Just something.
Because well, I mean, she already is afflicted if you kind of like.
It's like, you know what? It's like the cool thing that I've started to notice, because my wife's 41. And all her friends that I knew when they were 30 and 25 are now getting old. And they were hot chicks. And they're now they're older and they're not that hot anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, and it's sad. Watching a girl who commanded respect by her looks. Models. I'm talking about fucking models. And when they turn that corner, they had a couple kids and their body doesn't work the way it did. It's like they try to use their hotness still. Like that's their only thing. It's like watching a superhero get locked out of his house. Like going like, I don't fucking know. I don't have the keys. There's nothing I can do. I can't talk to dolphins to get me in here. I'm fucking like it's like how do I get out? I don't know how to get in. Like it's like almost like rewarding, because as a man, I feel like we get better looking the older we get.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I was awkward and uncomfortable and did not get laid a lot my whole life. I mean, I'd never been cool with women. I've never been like I couldn't run trains on girls, like that kind of guy that could be like, hey, you're fucking all of us. And then she's like, all right. Like,
really? What guy was that?
Oh, I'll tell you names off camera, but just cool dudes. You know, dudes that like, pimps, guys who know how to run game on a chick.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do that.
I could never do that. I can fall in love.
I can fall in love. I'm good at that. Boy, can I fall in love, but I cannot run. I just don't run.
I can fall in love so hard. I wish they had a porn for that, where it's just a guy like me and you, and we both fall in love with the girl. And we're like, I love you so much.
Yeah, man. You want to be the other creature, though. In the back of your, don't you, like, yes, you fantasize about being that creature, but then the reality of it is whenever, dude, I was in fucking Vegas, wasted at the Spearmint fucking Rhino.
Yeah.
So fucking drunk. Just had gotten out of this relationship. I'm fucking drunk at the Spearmint Rhino at the behest of some friends. Like, you know, we can hang out with some strippers. That's going to make you feel better. So I'm talking to this super fucking hot stripper. Some Russian. She's got like a Russian accent. Beautiful, beautiful, demonic, you know, the demonic stripper beauty. Yeah. It's not like, it's so unwholesome and bad. It's like just a festering erotic fungus growing out of the skin of the Spearmint Rhino.
Yes.
And I'm talking to her about her, and I'm talking about her life. And I'm talking to her about her fucking, like, what she does and, like, her dreams. And, dude, I swear to God, I'm so drunk, I start fucking crying. I can feel tears because I feel so bad. This drunk dude tearing up with his Spearmint fucking Rhino.
It's almost worth paying for a lap dance to cry in front of a stripper. Just to watch her be like, I'll just be like, oh, this is, I've never, that guy's come in their pants before, but no one's ever cried.
It was so embarrassing, man. And but that's what I'm like. I'm not the fucking, I'm not the other thing. I can't do it. I can't manufacture it. It doesn't. And if I do it, it just makes me feel disgusting.
Now, are you 100% Duncan when you have sex?
What do you mean?
Like, do you like turn it like when I have sex, I'm like me. I'm just the same. I giggle sometimes. I had a Mexican guy was my bodyguard for the past 2 weeks in Mexico.
Yeah.
But you could see that I could see that he could turn it on in bed and be like, ah, money by guy, I don't have that. I can't find that.
No.
Like, I can't smack ass and be like, yeah, whose pussy is this? Like, you know, like that kind of shit.
Yeah, I can tie a girl up. From time to time, but there's not all of a sudden this like thing. My favorite, I'll tell you, like, one of my the most intense sexual experiences I ever had was when I was like, this is embarrassing to talk about.
Oh, just tell me.
It was the fucking like, this was, by the way, this was this was several girlfriends ago, but it was this moment of like, I think we were both really high and we started like having like slow sex. You know what I mean? Where you're like not doing like the quick like fucking thing, but you're doing the thing where you're just kind of melting into each other's bodies and you go deep, 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 you know, real slow and deep. And you feel
like not even kissing, but you're rubbing her face.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're in love. She loves you and you're in love with her. And it's just this, to me, that's like that, those levels of like intensity are at least equally, or more exciting even than like doing some kind of filthy like face fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
some
yeah.
Kind of disgusting like thing you learn from watching you porn or
something. Yeah. Porn is disconnected all of us with intimacy. I've said this a number of times. I can't ever think of the right way to vocalize what I'm saying. But I when I go to like a strip club, there is this massive disconnect where it's not erotic to me anymore. It's just like, oh, it's a stripper.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird way, I was trying to say this in Portland. Have you been to Helium in Portland?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Okay, every bar in there is a strip club.
Right.
Every bar, you can't go to get drinks. It's got to be a strip club.
Right.
So I was like, man, I want to see one of the girls that I don't think is a stripper strip. Like, that's erotic. Yes. Like, I want to see a girl take off her socks. I want to see the imprint of a belt in her stomach.
Yes.
You know? Like, shit that I really see when I get my wife naked.
Right.
Like, I want to see some tan lines. I want to see some... I want to see some flaw. Like,
that's what I like.
Yeah.
The flaws are what's good.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting is the flaws. It's not the perfection.
Yeah.
It's the flaw. The flaw is what makes, especially like if there's some kind of, if it's a very beautiful girl, if there's some kind of flaw that you discover that like creates this like something that when you find that fucking imperfection, there's something awesome about it. You know, I don't know what that is.
I know exactly what you're saying, but that's, you know, I don't know. I also have been like, I don't do like lap dances anymore. Cause I'm like, it's like my wife was like, how could you do that? How could you get a lap dance? I mean, what do you even like? How can you even go to a strip club? Like what?
Right.
And I'm like, well, I don't know. Fucking, why do people accept Jesus into their heart? That shit happens. I don't
I
can't fucking stop it.
But she was cool with it. I mean, she like, you were going to strip clubs while you were married.
Oh yeah. I went in Portland and I was like, and my wife's like, totally cool with it. She doesn't give a shit. Like, she has no problem with it. But like, her only problem with lap dances, honestly, if I was to go get lap dances, is the money. She's
right.
Like, just don't fucking spend the money.
Right.
Like, it's $20 for fucking 3 minutes of nothingness.
Nothing.
Like, just keep the fucking money in your pocket. Bring it home. I'll give you a blowjob. Like, what? Like,
you're lucky. You are a lucky man.
Oh, dude. My wife. You'd love my wife. My wife would love... My wife already loves you. You did... We were listening to... I hate to say that. I hate to do this to go like... I was listening one time on Rogan's podcast. Like, because...
Rogan's podcast.
You did this thing. You told the story about Brian's dog getting raped.
Yes.
And I... And my wife it just happened. And my wife, and you have a very interesting the way you talk is very interesting.
That's
and
my a nice wife, way to put it.
No, it's fascinating. It makes you wonder who the person is. Like, my wife was in the car and we're both laughing hysterically. She goes, who is this guy? I go, it's Duncan Trussels. And she was like, how do I know him? Do I know him? And I said, no, you don't know him. She goes, pull up a picture. I want to see what he looks like. And then I pull up a picture and it's you and vampire teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, wait, that doesn't look like the guy. I go, hold on, let me find another one. But like, it's, but you'd like my wife a lot. You'd get a kick out of her.
She sounds really fucking cool, man. You guys are in a healthy, you're in a good, healthy relationship. It's such a great thing to be around someone who's in a good relationship. Is such a rarity. Like, quite often it's not like that. People are just eating themselves alive. They're like badgers tied together. And just
have you ever been in one of those relationships where you're walking around in public and you see people smiling and you just look at them like all of a sudden the screen's been pulled up and you're like, how can they be fucking happy?
Yes.
Like, what the fuck, man? Yes. Don't they know that this just sucks?
Yes. I've fucking been there, my friend, and it sucks, brother.
It's, sweet. Now, how are you going to get laid now?
I'm not. It's over for me, I think. I've got, I can't get laid now because I'm too aware of the fact that I'm not getting laid, and the fact that I'm aware that I'm not getting laid creates like an impossible cognitive dissonance that turns me into a gibbering idiot in front of girls. So I've given up.
Wait, I always have a hookup. I always have a girl who's like, why can't I meet any good guys?
Well, I'm sure you don't now. Then no, it's all gone. It's a, and also I feel like the universe is trying to keep me away from girls right now. Like because I've had two times now where friends have been like, come on, Duncan, let's go out to a bar. We'll find you a girl. That old sad fucking hunt.
Oh, yeah.
So sad. And
you don't want to be there.
No, I don't want to be there. And both times, it's like, not only were, like, no, I have never, ever, ever brought a girl home from a bar. Just randomly going to a bar. Never happened. Yeah. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. It doesn't work for me. But both of these last two times, having been taken out to bars, it's only other lonely guys and no girls. It's just a bunch of lonely guys. And the moment like a girl or two walks in, everyone's like staring at them. It's awful. I give up. The way I look at it, I'm not meant to be. Right now, I'm supposed to be by myself, I guess. I'm not supposed to be.
It's the best part, though. It's like wallowing in the mud. It's like those. I look back and I go, the times where I was like, I go through long stretches of celibacy. Like I used to make a joke. I used to have a joke about it. Like, have you ever been celibate for so long that when you do have sex with a girl and you have an orgasm, it feels weird to have someone else in the room? You're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, whoa, this is, whoa, I normally don't have people in the room when this happens. I normally do this by myself.
Oh, it's the worst, man. You got this, like, and like, you've got this embarrassing, like, I mean, the last time I went through, like, a really long period of not being with a girl, I still remember, like, the first time, like, when I hooked up with a girl after a long time, and it was just, like, I think she, like, brushed her hand against my underwear, and I was like, oh yeah, oh, I came in like 4 seconds. It was so embarrassing. And then you have to do a like the saddest explanation,
because
you're like, well, you know, I haven't had sex in months. That makes it even worse. It's like,
that's, well, the only reason I don't cheat on my wife is so I don't have to explain why I came so fast. Like,
right.
The only reason, not the only, there's a number of other reasons, but that is like, that is definitely like number two or three on the list, is if I did have a one night stand, it would be a smoking hot chick.
Sure.
And if it did happen, I would blow my load so fast that she would be shocked. I'm sure I would have met her at a club. She would have seen me on stage, thought I was cool as shit, and then she would see this side of my personality and be like, oh, what a fucking magic act that was. What a fucking fake you are. So this is who you really are, this guy?
Man, it's a sexuality in our culture is very similar to the use of psychedelics in our culture. It's both have the potential to elevate your consciousness. You can use them as tools to transcend the material universe and experience like love, real love, and really, like, there's so many things you can do with both of them, but no one's teaching this. No one's teaching about fucking or sex, and we're all hung up, and it's just a whole weird thing. The whole sex thing is just a whole stupid, weird, uncomfortable thing. I give up. I'll be a monk. I'm going to do what Tesla did. I'm going to get my balls clipped. I've thought about it.
Shut up.
I'm going to get my balls clipped off. Remove the sex drive altogether. So I'm
wait,
not...
is it remove the sex drive, though?
I've heard a rumor that
I would hate to have gone ahead and gotten my balls clipped and then been like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm still surfing RedTube and all these porn sites.
Now you're like coming like yellow, like just weird shit.
Your dick's got the dry heaves. Just
it's a torment. It's, I don't know. It's a torment.
Have you written any jokes about it?
About
what you're going through now?
No, I want to, but then I feel like
you don't want to go on stage and dump. Like, and go like, God, like,
well, I don't want to do that. Like, I did it actually last night. Was the first time I went on stage and talked about how I anytime I hear a comic start a joke with, I just got out of my thing, I almost tune out right away. Cause it's like, I don't know why. It's just a common thing to talk about. So, but I did, attempt to kind of like talk about the what it's like to lose your mating dance. You know, like how the birds pop their feathers up and they have that little dance that they do and it gets them laid. It's like after you've been with someone for 4 years, you forget that fucking dance. You don't know what feathers to pop up and when to pop them up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you've lost your mating dance. And now you're just kind of, when you get around a girl, you're like throwing up the wrong feathers. If I was at the fucking farmer's market talking about Gnostic Christianity to a girl that date stand, give me a fucking break. I give up.
Please. Please write a short about all the experiences you're going through, about all your new trying to remember your mating dance.
Yeah.
Because you hitting on chicks as you is awful. So fucking hilarious
it's
to me.
Terrible.
Already a girl selling you dates and your brain going, she's pretty cute. Let's sew up the feathers. Have you know anything about Gnostic Christian?
You know there's a good Gnostic Christian church up the street.
Right then she's like, that'll be $350. Oh, that's fucking... We should take some edibles and go to this Gnostic Christian church sometime.
That's it.
That sounds like a great date.
That's it. That's where I'm at, man. And there's no way to like... Because there's... Like, I know that... I don't even know what to say. Like, if I'm not... I've seen the guys who are good with girls. And I've
seen... Yeah, but they're not good with girls. They're good with, like, one night... The guys that are good with girls, like, good is, like... I think guys like me and you are good for girls.
Right.
Like, we are like the rescue dog that you get as a puppy that turns into a beautiful purebred.
Right.
And you're like, shut. Where did you get that fucking dog? And you're like, I got it from the pound. Someone threw it out a window.
Yeah.
And now those other guys are just like, they're purebreds who don't grow that big, but you paid a lot of money for.
Right.
Like, and the thing is, I think if you keep putting up your version of your feather dance, because who you are, who you can't, you couldn't go to some girl with some fucking... game where it's like hey, can I play get some conversation, and then she's like, oh yeah. And then because ultimately you're going to a Gnostic Christian church with her one day, and she's like, wait,
that's
what the
it.
fuck. Yeah,
exactly, that's the thing.
Yeah,
even if I got possessed by the spirit, I don't know, fucking Russell Brand, or I don't know, some like people were apparently like humping all over the
see,
place.
But you're like Russell Brand's interesting, like you.
Yeah, but he seems to have, I'm trying, that was a bad example, let me think of another. Who's like a legendary, like someone who's legendary at seducing women.
Like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Like if I got possessed by the spirit of Frank Sinatra, if Frank Sinatra came to help me from wherever he currently is right now and possessed my body at the fucking date stand, and I said the perfect series of things where I ended up with...
You're a cute looking doll. How would you like to go for a spin in an automobile or some shit like that?
What is it?
Yeah.
There's just no way. It's always just going to... It is, like you said, it's going to end up with them in my fucking house, and you want to chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo? You know, it's not going
to... But you're in the right place to find those women. Oh, I know a girl. I know a girl who produces intervention.
Perfect.
She's pretty hot.
Really?
And she parties, and she just moved here.
Perfect.
That's
yes.
Fucking yes.
And it's recorded on the podcast. Do we have to edit that out that you just said that?
No, not at all. She actually, I tweeted a picture of her the other day. She was like, I'm looking for a guy. She's like, I just want to, you know, like I want someone. But she's interesting. She's seen it all.
But is she?
She gets a good, she has a, she got my sense of humor, and I'm pretty aggressive sometimes at a dinner party.
But she, does she smoke weed?
Yeah, I'm sure she does. She got drunk.
She produces intervention.
She has to smoke weed. Who doesn't?
Good point.
Yeah, like who's, what, she's not in the CIA. She watches people smoke heroin. As long as you're not smoking heroin or huffing nitrous oxide or Glade.
Dude, not to change the subject, because I really don't want to change the subject. She sounds awesome. I'm going to just take a tiny side road.
What?
I was hanging out with a trauma surgeon who said that one of the people who came in to the ER, it was some group of guys had gotten into filling their balls up with nitrous oxide.
What?
Like they would pierce their balls and inflate their testicles with nitrous oxide.
Wait, why? What does it do?
It stretches your balls.
That's it?
That's it. But it would be like you can blow. Apparently, your ball skin is like really stretchy. So you can fucking inflate your balls to like a huge place. So they would swell their balls out. And this guy had like filled his balls with nitrous oxide. And then something went wrong.
Something went wrong? What could possibly go wrong? I can't find the guide map. It says we're in the right direction. We're filling our balls up with nitrous.
Well, the nitrous sucked back in, or somehow there was a name that he gave me for what happened when the gas went into his blood or went into his balls, and basically he had necrosis of the testicles. It just destroyed his balls, that they just turned black.
That's why I won't get a Prince Albert. Not that I want a Prince Albert,
yeah.
But someone was talking about you get an infection in there, and they had to clean the guys. They had to pull all the skin out of the dick, all the way to the pubis. Like, the guy lost his dick. You cannot fuck with your dick and your balls.
Don't fuck with your dick.
Yeah, it's why? The one thing you get. I had a weird like epiphany. You ever just been sitting there and maybe you're, you know, and then all of a sudden you see things differently. You see the opposite side of the coin.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, like, out of all the things on my body, right? Out of all the things on my body,
yes.
If I was gonna put something in a strange spot, like a vagina or in someone's mouth, probably the last thing I'd put is my dick. Like, out of all the parts of my body, if you're like, let's put something in this girl's mouth that we barely know, I'd be like, I'll go for a finger would be the same. But you put your dick. Like,
yeah, it really is a perplexing fucking appendage. It really is, man.
This one thing. You don't have 10 of them. Yeah. You got one of them.
I've been doing a joke about, like, how it's like the absurdity of having a tentacle hanging between your legs. You have a fucking, it's a tentacle, essentially, right? That's what it is. It's a fucking tentacle that elongates, and then you put it in people's mouths.
It's the weirdest,
the weirdest thing. That's fucking Loon Loon, man. That's that god I was telling you about there. That god, that was his idea. He assembled the Christian god, the Santorum god. He made us with a tentacle that fills with blood and
sometimes makes decisions for us.
And makes decisions for us and cannot go in another man's asshole without you being eternally damned forever. It's absurdity.
It does sound like just a weird, like, if you were like pitching a human to someone.
That's my joke.
What?
I do that fucking joke. I can't believe you just said that. That's exactly it. What? I've been doing that joke. That's amazing that you said that. I, like, if someone pitched the idea of humans.
Yeah, that's, I know. I mean, I
they'd sound like a fucking lunatic.
That's, I've never done that as a bit or anything, but just the,
if you
but,
do,
but
I
well, you
will
set it up. You did set it up to think that way.
Well, it's,
but,
I, it's,
but the truth is that. That's a fucking good joke. I like it.
Well, you know, man, it's like, it's just trying to hit upon the absurdity of how serious we take ourselves. I don't know. Hopefully it'll turn into something amazing, but fuck jokes, man.
How quick?
What about this girl? Why? Oh. Like,
No. Let's go back to, I feel like this is such a stream of consciousness.
Yes.
That it's like, you ever think in bed and your brain's running and then, and somehow it starts with horses, and then next thing you know, you're like thinking about fucking something totally different, like solar flares.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, how did I get from horses to solar flares?
Yeah, or if you eat mushrooms and like stare at a candle and you see like the millions of shapes and forms and faces. Man, that was like a great... Have you ever had sex on mushrooms?
No.
Oh, fuck, it's great. Sex on sex on LSD is...
I could never do LSD again.
Really?
It terrifies me. Just one bad trip, and then you're like, I will never roll the dice on that again. Because it's 10 hours. We're talking about a day. We're talking about a real commitment.
Yeah.
Like, mushrooms for me were like 4 hours, and you were 4 hours, but like 2 hours of feeling it, and then 2 hours of fun.
Yeah.
Like, and mushrooms I did enjoy. I wouldn't do now because I had a missed, I don't know. I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I will. But like, I did mushrooms once as a parent, like one time when I had kids, and the second I took, and I didn't take much, I took like a very responsible amount.
Yeah.
But, and I just realized, I was like, man, I have two humans who count on me.
Yes.
Who like, they don't, like, if I fuck myself up, if I get fucking broken tonight.
Right.
Like, and that's just, I had a great time, but the point was, like, I am not willing to roll the dice on that anymore. Right. That.
Yes.
But mushrooms for me were a blast. I thought those were...
They're incredible. They're a beautiful thing. And I know what you mean about... I mean, it's any responsibility that you have seems to be amplified in the initial, like, coming on period of a psychedelic. My friend used to call it dying. Like, he would say that, like, when you actually, you know what Terrence McKenna said about how you know if you've taken the right amount of mushrooms. You know you've taken the right amount of mushrooms if you feel like you're about to die. That's how you know you've done it.
I've never done that, Ben. I take about half of that.
Yeah, me too. If that, like, and the one time I went there, like, and followed his advice and took a huge amount, it was, it's a whole different ball of wax. Like, and the times I've taken huge doses of LSD and not just, like, what they used to call disco doses, but the times I've taken, like, massive doses of LSD, you go through that initial period of absolute terror when you realize where you're headed, and then your ego disassociates, and suddenly you just, you know, you merge into the universe. You stop being yourself for a little while, and then you don't want to come back because you've just become this kaleidoscopic flicker of consciousness that's spreading out throughout your 8 hours. And every once in a while, you might come back to yourself, but that's a good dose of LSD. You need to take more. Next time, you just need to take more.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
That's the way to do it. That was the, but you're, by the way, for those of you listening, because, like, I'm afraid that there's some, like, young people who listen to this.
That's always my fear.
Yeah.
And I go, and, like, for us as grown-ups,
yeah,
that's a very real conversation we can have. But then when you hear a kid, I'm reticent. Is that the right
reticent
word? I'm reticent to even say that I've ever done drugs for fear that my daughter's friends will hear this.
Right.
One day.
Well, I mean, my opinion is I'm not afraid to talk about drugs. And but if you're a kid right now growing up, then you know what drugs are, and you know that you have to do them at the right time. And for that right time is probably you should wait until college. Or talk to your parents about it if you want to do it. Now I have to do a public service announcement. Hey, kids out there, if you feel like fucking getting high and you feel like tripping, talk to your parents about it. And if they don't want you to do it, get into pranayama, which is a form of yogic breathing that will get you fucking blasted out of your mind. Look it up on the internet.
What is this?
It's a way. It's like a type of breathing, nostril breathing that you can get. They you Google search holotropic breath work. It's just a way of breathing to induce psychedelic states. There's other ways to do it, guys. Don't fucking. You want to get fucking high, kids?
Yeah.
Read a good book.
Hey, I want you to so badly, like, I got to read these books to my daughters, and sometimes I do them, like, I'll do them as Sam Kinison, and they fucking think they howl with laughter.
I must love that.
But I want to give you a book one time, one of their books, and have you read it to yourself, and then read it into, like, read it into audio, but also add in you. Like,
I'll read it for. I'd love that. Book? Name the book.
I don't know. I gotta. I'll have my just daughters pick one out.
Have your daughters pick one out. I will. I would love to do that. That would be such a fucking blast.
Because it would be. Oh, it's so fucking, like, it should be a series. Like,
yeah.
I could definitely.
Holy
play
shit.
That.
We could start doing YouTube videos of us reading. I guess there's copyright issues, right? You can't just
fuck
read a book.
That.
We should read fucking kids' books and put it up on the internet.
I do. What I do is when I read a book to my daughters, if my wife's not around, I'll go like, I'll say like, I'm trying to think of one of the books. Like, I'll throw in bad words all the time. Like, Pinkalicious is one of her books. And it's like, Pinkalicious went to school. Fuck those kids at school. They don't know shit. Like, and my daughters will go, Daddy, do daddy words. And they'll laugh hysterically.
Daddy words.
Yeah. And they had me do it at one of their schools. It was Green Eggs and Ham. I was reading Green Eggs and Ham. And I was reading it to my daughters at home. And I was like, would you like them? Fuck them. I don't want the fox. I don't want the box. You little fucking piece of shit. I will fucking stab you if you bring those fucking eggs one more time. My cholesterol level's through the roof. Like, and So my daughter's had me read Green Eggs and Ham at school, my youngest, and she is sitting in the class. She goes, she looks at me and she goes, read them with daddy words. And I'm like, not to your class.
You can't do that. Can you imagine?
Oh, but if you do Green Eggs and Ham like Sam Kinison, it is fucking hilarious. Oh, I don't want no Green Eggs and Ham. But I'm going to get you a book. You got to read it. It'll be, do it on YouTube. It will be fucking hilarious.
I'll totally do it.
Like, you read it. You interpret, you read parts and passages, inserting yourself and the storyline.
I'm doing it.
Fucking genius.
We're going to fucking do it. Yeah, that's fun. I don't want kids. You're lucky. You're a fucking cool guy, Bert Kreischer. Oh, you're a cool human, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for coming to my house and being on my podcast.
It's all because something changed in me. And when I heard you on Rogan's, I was like, I got to meet this guy. And I saw you on a plane, and I was like, you know how your ego gets stuck with shit? And you're like, I don't want to go and say hi to someone who doesn't know me. Because, like, then I just was like, fuck it. I think the guy's hilarious. I kind of knew your ex a little bit, not really, but enough to maybe say hi.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go over and tell him how fucking cool I think he is. And I walked over, and I was like, and you were so cool back that I was like, I remember I took a piss right after that, and I was in the bathroom. I went, that's how it should be done. Just be fucking real.
You're fucking cool. Man, well, I hope that I get to be in whatever that group of comic friends is that you hang out with from time to time.
You were in the small group of people that I kind of really like, really trust, cool. And I fucking want to spend more time with.
Awesome, man. Well, okay, yeah, and that's going to happen with the producer of Intervention tonight. Yes! What's coming up for you?
I don't know. When's this air?
What's that?
When's this air?
This is going to come out Thursday. This will be out Thursday or Friday.
I'm in Richmond this weekend.
Okay.
I'm doing Kegs and Eggs with Elliot in the morning, Friday morning.
Cool.
And then I'm in Hawaii for 2 weeks shooting my new show. And then I'm in Italy, Iceland, England.
You're doing stand-up out there?
No. Doing the show. And then I think all my stand-up dates, I don't know if they've all been pushed, but they've all been pushed until we get out of this production.
What's your Twitter?
At Bert Kreischer, BertKreischer.
Well, thanks for coming, Duncan, dude.
I had a blast, man.
Me too. Thanks. Yeah, you got it. Bye. You're listening to Positive Vibration by Bob Marley.
Live if you wanna live. Rastaman vibration, yeah.
Positive.
That's what we got to give. I and I vibration, yeah.
Positive.
Got to have a good vibe. I am an Irishan, yeah.
Irish.
Whoa, whoa. Positive vibration, yeah.
Positive.
If you get down and you quarrel every day, you're saying prayers to the devils, I say. Oh, why not help one another on the way? Make it much easier.
Just a little bit easier.
Say you just can't live that negative way. If you know what I mean, make way for the positive day. 'Cause it's news and days, new time. And if it's a new feeling, look at it, said it's a new sign. Oh, what a new day.
Picking up